Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here today with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David.
Well, that was about the most exciting Edmonton win in just seems like forever. Scoring a goal in the last seconds of the game, a shootout win. I wish they'd won it in overtime, but a shootout win is still pretty darn good. And I found that to be thrilling. I thought the Oilers really played well. They outchanced in terms of grade A chances, 9-3 over Florida. It's a very solid defensive game. There was a few times when Florida, a mediocre team, I might add, was putting a lot of pressure in the Oilers zone, but not that often. The Oilers defense looked about as good as they've looked in a month. So Bruce, this is the two good things, two bad things, and two numbers podcast. What is your good thing?
Well, my good thing is the last 6 minutes of hockey action, if not the last 5 minutes and 15 seconds of hockey action, which salvaged what would have been a very dreary defeat. I suspect your optimism about this game would not be there had the Oilers not scored that late tying goal, because they'd only generated, two scoring chances up until that point. And there were, I thought that the game was frankly quite boring. Defensively, I guess, not too bad. Not a lot of action or excitement. And then that last minute, and Draisaitl got robbed by Reimer, and it was just like the last home game against Winnipeg. You remember Hellebuyck made the save?
Yes,
the same
it
shot,
looked like it was
same
good.
Save, same everything. Even less time left on the clock, but this time the script was different, and Chiasson recovered the rebound and got it back to Draisaitl, and he fed it across for the tap in or wrap in from. Big number 97 with 8 seconds to go. And then the overtime, it was like a different sport.
it was the difference between five on five
and 3-on-3 is like a metamorphosis from a caterpillar into a butterfly in the middle of a game.
If the NHL was 3-on-3, Bruce, the Oilers would win the Stanley Cup every year, and it wouldn't be close. Nuge is fantastic.
Well, this is why I want to see Draisaitl go into the All-Star game so the Pacific can clean up, because I think they got the best two-man forward act going in the game, the Oilers, in overtime. But this is the first time they've reached overtime in too long. And so, I mean, just by nature, you play too many two-point games, it costs you. And so bring on the three-pointers, and then by all means get that third point, get the win. Doesn't matter to us that Florida walked away with the point.
That was my thought, exactly. The Oilers had 7 of their 9 grade A chances, Bruce, in that time period. But yes. You know what? I had watched the first period, and then I went to a hockey practice, and I was taping the game, and I came back, and I was watching it. And I didn't know the score as I was watching it. But as the third period was going on, I was getting more and more excited. I thought, man, the Oilers are really starting to play well in the third period. And they weren't getting a lot of chances, but they were getting the better of the play. It looked like a team determined to win. The line shakeup seemed to work. All of the lines, the combinations that he was putting out there were finally working. Seems like McDavid and Draisaitl will get a little stale every third or fourth game together, and they need breaking up. And it seemed to work, and they were coming on. Then, of course... Anyway, I won't get to my bad thing, but my good thing, Bruce, is how much Ken Hitchcock loves Caleb Jones. There's only one, well, other than Caleb Jones's parents, Ken Hitchcock seems to love Jones's game as much as I do. And I know he, again, got beat on a blue line play. I think it's probably the second game in a row. He's got to figure that out. He can't keep having, although Oscar Klefbom's played a long time in the NHL, and that still happens to him. As it happens to Larson now and then, doesn't happen to Chris Russell, because he's such a smart conservative hockey player. But other than that, I thought Jones, he's just Bruce. When I was watching Florida and I was watching Yandel make some plays, I was just thinking, here's what the Oilers miss is a defenseman who's got skill and smarts and can make a play with the puck. Has that calmness that Hitchcock talked about Jones having. But Jones, he's the first Oilers defenseman, again, since Sekera got hurt, who has that super chill acumen with the puck. And I just love to see that get a defenseman. The Oilers are so desperate for it, Bruce. They are so unbelievably. It is the biggest. And next year, probably Bouchard will be on the team that might even have two guys because Nurse doesn't have it. God love Darnell Nurse with all he brings to a game. He will never have it. Russell doesn't. He doesn't have it. He's calm, but he doesn't do anything with the puck. Larson doesn't really have it. Klefbom, does he have it? I don't know. Like, he's good. Like, he's a very good player, Klefbom. Like, he does everything kind of good, but nothing great. And, you know, but Jones really does it great.
I think Klef's got good wheels and a good first pass, kind of like Jones has got. Jones does look like a young Andrei Sekera to me. And he's got some nice wheels. And he's still got some rough edges defensively to burnish off for sure, because he's gotten burned a few times now. But lots of good little plays in every game.
I love seeing him out there in overtime.
Yeah, and he played like over 2 minutes in overtime.
He excelled, and Nurse is good in overtime because he's so fast out there. It's better to see, but again, if they had played Larson, you know, Larson's just not that. He just lacks a little bit of mobility and creativity in the end as an offensive hockey player. Just like Nurse has the speed, but so it was great to have Jones out there. I mean, once Klefbom comes back, you can go Klefbom or Jones in overtime, and gets all the better if we can imagine such a thing. Bruce, what is your bad thing?
Well, I'm going to jump right over that awful 5-on-3 the Oilers had. In fact, the awful 2 power plays they had back-to-back there. And go right on to the really bad thing that was a really bad thing for a whole lot of people tonight. And that was a utter breakdown in the Sportsnet TV feed, which caused my TV screen to flash in this sort of strobe light on and off flashing pattern for the entirety of the 3-hour broadcast. It took me, you could follow the play, like between the flashes, the puck was moving and the play was flowing. But I'll tell you, David, it was seizure inducing, just brutal. Like I wonder if someone or more than someone has had an issue with trying to watch the game tonight, because it's a known cause of seizures. And I mean,
it was maybe the guest broadcaster was
awful.
I'm sorry to hear that, Bruce. It used to drive me crazy.
Worst I've ever seen. And you know what? This is 3 games in a row now from Rogers Place. I'm named after a major telecommunications giant. And one of the major providers, in this case, I think it was Sportsnet, not the cable provider, but the previous 2 games, the cable provider had problems. And you know, I mean, it's a first world problem. I'll be the first to admit that. But this game was unwatchable. I caught up with it finally. I found a poor feed on the internet about 10 minutes into the first period. And by then I had a raging headache and a raging temper to match it. And so it took me a while to find a better feed and to calm down enough to watch, if not exactly enjoy the game. And until that last-minute heroics, man, I had my headline all written, the Oilers can't get out of their own way, because it looked like that was going to be the winning goal, where they basically clash sticks and put the puck in their own net. I understand a lot of people just gave up on this game or just tried to watch through it or just listened on the radio or whatever, and they got to fix that. Like, that's just not acceptable.
Maybe there was a guest broadcaster, 3CPO. Okay,
colossal disaster.
Used to like I haven't had that this year, and I also subscribe to NHL.com because otherwise I would just lose it, because I mean, I need to watch all the games work, and so I have that backup. Otherwise I just have a conniption whenever that used to happen, and of course you're doing the game grade, so you need it tonight in order to do that work.
So the grades are going to be a little bit soft, because I didn't see even the whole game. Like the first 10 minutes, I could tell that each team scored a goal, and I'll watch a replay of it later.
Well, and not much else happened than those.
No, it wasn't a lot happening. So it was a difficult game to get into for a few reasons. But
okay, what I didn't like, Bruce, was that goal deflecting it off Larson. Uh-huh. And it's just nothing. These things happen, right? There was no one's at fault on that. It's just terrible puck luck. Oh. But the Oilers have had, in the last month, they've had their fair share of bad puck luck. They had really good puck luck in Hitchcock's first month. But of course, you know what? Then Nugent Hopkins goes in overtime, takes that shot, and bangs here, bangs there, goes off his armpit, off his nostril, and off the back of his leg into the net. So puck luck is like that. But I was so frustrated because I didn't think the Oilers were going to come back. And they desperately need to beat this.
Come out of this game with a goose egg in the standings would have been killer.
Oh God, they can't have that happen. And I'm just saying that I can't have that happen as an Oilers fan. I've said this once a million times. Like, I can't go through this again where they're out of it in January here. Like, come on, guys, hang in there at least until April, at least until March.
6 minutes left in a tie game. They've already lost five in a row on home ice. Like, I was so feeling it for the poor fans.
Oh, yeah.
In the building that have suffered through a lot of tough hockey this last short while, and also, of course, these last many years. But it turned out that and they got some puck luck of their own. You know, the 2-2 goal, it hit Dave McDavid in the butt with a point shot by Nurse, and it came flying it through. And by my eye, it hit McDavid on the butt and just dropped on his stick, and he tapped it into the net. So, I mean, that was a bit lucky. But that one where Jones rips it out of the crease, and Larson's just kind of stumbling around there, and he wasn't even swinging at the puck. I think he was just trying to regain his balance and hit the shaft of his stick, and it rocketed about an inch inside the goalpost, bulged the back of the net. So where did that come from? Like, they never even had the puck, and it was in the net. And this is like 3 in 2 games that have gone in off of Larson. You know, one hit Larson and Jones last game. You remember the one that hit both of them on the skate? Then one hit Larson on the skate and went in, and this one hits both of them on the stick and goes in. And the look on Larson's face after it went in was priceless. Like, he was just so flummoxed. And, you know, he's such a dour guy anyway and fairly expressionless, but you could just tell he just couldn't believe it that it happened again tonight after the miserable night he had in San Jose.
So my number, Bruce, is 7 of 9, a very famous number for Star Trek fans.
We are the Borg. You shall be assimilated.
Yeah. Who could forget 7 of 9?
Jerry Hall.
Yeah. No, Jerry Ryan. Jerry Ryan.
Jerry Ryan. Yeah, that's right.
Jerry Hall married Mick Jagger. Yes. 7 of 9 tonight was Connor McDavid. He made 7 contributions, 5 of them major contributions to the 9 grade A scoring chances of the Oilers. And Bruce, the last goal in the 8 second left goal was so spectacular because, I mean, not only were they desperate for that goal and deserving of it, I thought they played a good game. But I loved the way it was such an Oilers moment for Florida. There was 2 guys on McDavid and they both charge off to cover Draisaitl, leaving. What's the last thing you want to do with 8 seconds left in the game is leave Connor McDavid alone in the slot. But they both go charging right over puck watching, charging right over to Draisaitl, who passes it over to McDavid, who scores. It was such a colossal FUBAR Oiler-esque moment for the Florida Panthers. And then, of course, McDavid's great. What a pass, he says. I think he says, "What a pass, baby."
Something along those lines for sure. Well, it was a great pass by Leon.
That's the name of our podcast. What a Pass podcast tonight.
Okay.
What's your number?
I got a row of numbers. I got to read this row of numbers because it's just so amazing. Darnell Nurse on the event summary tonight.
Okay.
Start with the box cars, 1 goal, 1 assist, 2 points, plus 3. And you know, it was his pass that nearly set up Draisaitl for the tire and started the sequence. So you will have credited him on that scoring chance, even as he didn't get a point. But he did get a goal and assist on the other two goals. He played 31 minutes and 49 seconds tonight, fifth most in the NHL all season by any player. 38 shifts, outrageous. He led the Oilers in power play and shorthanded time and three-on-three time and five-on-five time. In that time, he had 8 shots on net. The entire forward core had 11. And late into the third period, Nurse had more shots by himself than all the forwards, the guys that are supposed to be shooting the puck, mind you. And Nurse, Nurse wound up with 12 shot attempts. He also had 4 hits to lead the team, 1 giveaway, and 2 block shots to also lead the team. And he was a monster out there. I don't know how many miles he skated tonight, but it was many. Because it wasn't; those were not quiet minutes by Darnell. He was really involved in the game, and he's a very proactive player. And sometimes things go against him, but tonight he was an extremely positive influence. That was one of his best games.
2 more numbers on his stat line. He was in on 6 scoring chances and made a mistake on just 1 against. Okay, so you. That's got to be a 9.
Yes, I've already graded him, and that's what I gave him.
Yeah.
And he was. I was going to ask you about scoring chances, but I knew it would be high and I knew it would be positive because I'm just reading off the one stat sheet here, the event summary, and that's all the columns, and he's got big crooked numbers on all of them.
All right, so they won the first. They got, what is it? Is it 7 games in a row or 6 games in a row at home?
6 out of 7. It's like 2-3 game stands with 1 trip to Vancouver in the middle.
So out of these 7 games, they got to win what? At least 4. Obviously, they got to win 4 of them, but 5 of them is probably right. They got to win 5 of them. So they got to
gain back some points at home after that 0-5 homestand last time. They got to make these games count, and they're playing against so opposition. Florida tonight, for instance, they're a .500 team, and you got to. On your ice, you got to beat those teams, and they left it to the very, very, very end, but they got the job done.
I think if they can figure out their forward lines and get some decent goaltending, I mean, what killed them in that streak was defense, right? Like the defenders, but I think they might have a little bit going on there because Jones can play with Larson and hang in there. Those guys can hang in there as long as the puck's not bouncing in off their face. And Nurse is back with Russell. And that is absolutely critical for Darnell Nurse. He's playing better again.
Yeah.
Russell's so solid. And I actually really, that was probably the best game from a third pairing we've seen in forever, again, from the Oilers with Benning and Gravel. I expect we might see those two again. So much for Manning and Petrovic, although Petrovic was playing okay before he got hurt.
So-so, and Manning, Manning hasn't impressed at all.
He's got to go to Bakersfield. I wrote a post today saying this. I mean, with all this sitting around he did in Chicago and how horrible – I mean, he's just been – there's no other way to phrase it. He's been horrible. You can't trust him out there. You can't put him out there. They should do him a favor, send him to Bakersfield for a month and let him get his game in order. If there's desperate injury situation, call him back up. But maybe when Petrovic is healthy, that's what's going to happen because he needs to play Manning or he'll never get better, and you can't trust him to play right now. So
you think he'd clear waivers?
Yeah, you're just trolling.
That contract, man.
The only person you're trolling with is Peter Chiarelli.
I cannot believe he traded for that contract and had no retention on it. Like that's just mind-boggling to me. I'm sorry.
I agree. I mean, if you wanted to get rid of Drake Caggiula's contract, let's say I could be wrong.
750K to it.
But here's my suspicion is Hitchcock had enough of Caggiula.
Maybe so.
And wanted him gone. But if you wanted to get rid of him, really you couldn't trade him for like a 6th-round draft pick or something that you didn't have to take on that kind of money? So I agree. Yeah. Like I'm glad – listen, I'm not going to complain to Drake Caggiula. I know a lot of people complain about this, but I'm glad he was traded. I think he was hurting the team. He was part of the problem. But man, couldn't you just get rid of him at cost, like just for a low pick? And why didn't you do that?
No, the cap management on that, I mean, getting rid of the Caggiula contract is defensible. Again, I choose to separate the contract from the player.
Yes.
But getting rid of the Caggiula contract was defensible. But bringing back a contract with just as much time to run on it and an extra $750,000 on it for a player that doesn't appear poised to help the team, let's put it that way, is just indefensible. I just can't find a rationale that makes sense out of that.
Well, we remember what Shirelli said. He said he thought Manning was a better player than Kevin Gravel, and that's quickly proven to not be true. Now, again, like Manning was sitting for a month before he got in. And
with reason, apparently.
Evidently. Let's leave it there, Bruce, because we're moving on to all kinds of other bad things here. Thanks for talking tonight, Bruce.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone, and hopefully we'll all get to see the game on Saturday against the Coyotes.
Oh, it's not till Saturday? I guess it is Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah, 2 nights.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.